Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Hello, Sarah.
Well, hello there.
And hello to you, Chris.
Thanks for having me again.
You're a part of the team, pal. We're always going to have you. Now, everybody, in Western consumerist societies, convenience is highly valued. That can, however, make us a little sedated from time to time. We can also spend a lot of our time scrolling through our options, and choosing and committing can be seen as rather tricky. Today, we're answering this question. What things are worth the effort?
I feel like you've pitched at a certain level with that intro, Marcus. It's a great thing. And I'm going to bring it down for the first one.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
Bring back up.
I'm
going to go for changing your bedding.
You really are.
It's like,
wow. Low bar. Okay.
Well, it's in like, it's always a pain, isn't it? It's always like, oh, I can't be bothered. And I'm blessed to have a very large bed. I've got a super king bed.
Ooh.
Because someone kindly gave me the bed. Just before my wife and I had our first son, and then so we bought the mattress. Ooh. But they were like, it's worth getting a big bed. Every second counts of good sleep when you have a child. And I completely agree with that. But it's such a big bed to change the bedding. And I'm just like, I can't be bothered. But every time you do it, it's like, oh, this feels amazing.
Yeah. Is there a worse thing to do than trying to put the duvet in the duvet cover?
Yes.
Oh, I hate it.
A friend of mine called Jim Campbell, who does a bit of comedy. He once described, I have to give the full credit, of course, it's his gag, but he once described trying to get the duvet into a duvet cover, like trying to get a cloud into a condom, which I thought was very good. That was an excellent gag.
Yep.
You're fighting with it. We've got a rule where, you know, new duvet, you then have to make sure you've got clean pajamas. And I'll often have a shower before I go to bed. Like, it's a full routine to enjoy the cleanness. But every time it comes to that time, I'm just like, oh, what can I do to get out of this? But it's worth the effort. I just can't be bothered.
Now, that's a good start, actually. And I think that does sort of get to the heart of what we're talking about today. The only thing that I'm slightly surprised about is I'd have put you down as a nudie sleeper, but apparently you have pajamas.
I've tried it. I'm not going to lie. It feels very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it feels like I think you sleep lighter because you're just on heightened alert.
Yeah,
for
I agree.
Any reason. It's not a deep sleep.
There's too much stimulation.
I'd once read it's quite dangerous for a man too as well, in case you get tangled up. But I don't
know
how true that
is. Sorry, what?
Yeah.
Sarah, you just shouted stimulation a moment ago. What was that about? Sorry.
The sheets are touching too much of your body. It's like everything's being touched by the sheets.
Stimulated.
Oh, well,
do you know something? I would wear underwear in bed for those who care to know. And I don't mind wearing socks in bed. I don't think that's weird.
No.
I don't understand why people think that's weird.
Oh,
are they clean socks? They're not just ones you've worn all day?
Either. Does it matter?
No, dirty socks.
Yes.
No, it would be clean pair of socks.
Little socks.
No, of course it would be clean socks.
His eyes switching from side to side. Yes, of course.
I've gone too far.
I'll start with socks if it's cold. And then
exactly.
Just before you drop off,
you can't sleep in them.
No.
Yeah, but I mean, if you did, like, it's not a shocker. Do you know what I mean?
If there's dirty, there is.
It's not like I'm wearing a blazer in bed. Do you know what I mean? Or something. I don't understand. But I do, when the weather gets warmer, being topless in bed is quite nice. I quite like that.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. That is worth it.
Shoulders out.
Yeah. Those mighty shoulders. We got slightly sidetracked there,
sidetracked.
Everybody. You now know what we sleep and don't sleep in. So I would apologise, but you chose to listen to this. Sarah, what's worth the effort?
Okay, I'm going to actually go on a similar... along a similar line to what Chris said with a household thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is worth the effort occasionally to iron something. Some things, and I hate ironing. I'm not interested in ironing regularly. I'm really not. It's a waste of time. But every now and then, there are some items of clothing, like a shirt.
Yeah, shirts need it.
Like, you know, you've got a nice white shirt, and it just looks so much better if you actually just run the iron over it.
When do you wear white shirts?
when I catering.
Want to.
When you're catering.
Have you never seen a woman wear a white shirt?
No, you specifically. No, I haven't.
I last
you were famous
for
flowery shirts.
Yeah, sorry? I know. My shirts have really toned down, actually, over the years. It's the pandemic. It took away my love.
You've changed.
Did you say you wore one on Sunday?
I wore a white shirt on Sunday, yeah.
Sunday best.
To church.
No, really?
Yeah. You bet.
Get a load of you. I've never seen you one in church. You like a flannel shirt in church normally.
Yeah, I do. I mean, you can wear those looking a little bit sort of.
Oh, yeah, that's the beauty of the flannel, of the Czech shirts, to be honest with you. That's the beauty of it.
But a crisp white shirt.
Yeah, no, you do need to iron a white shirt,
it
definitely.
It is worth the effort.
And I'd throw in, on special occasions, starch it. And get some spray starch. Because it doesn't crumple as much after. Uh-huh. I mean, special occasions. I'm not talking like, you know, a nice meal out. I'm talking weddings.
Like weddings.
You know, when you're in it all day.
You want to look sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay, good to know.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. excellent. Okay, so we've started off with bed sheets and shirts.
It's essentially chores. That's what we're saying. Yeah. It's worth.
It's worth being an adult and actually doing some household chores. Yeah.
Yes.
Marcus, what about you?
I've got a few here. I'm having an hour. Do I sort of turn it a bit more serious, or do I try?
Go on. We'll just bring it
take
down
a serious
again,
turn. Yeah, and we'll sort you out.
Oh, right. Someone's got to say exercise. There, I've done it.
Oh, yeah.
Up yours, everybody. Yeah, exercise. Because if not, then you know you don't make old bones, do you? That's what we're told.
Yeah. Also, you know how
if
with
you do,
exercise,
they're flabby bones.
With exercise, that people always say, they talk about the endorphins and all this stuff. And you know when you don't want to exercise, you're like blah blah blah. Who cares? Whatever. Yeah. Shut up. And then immediately once you've done the exercise, you're like, I feel amazing. Why did no one ever tell me exercise made you feel good? Who knew? Who knew this was so good?
Yeah, no, I mean, all that endorphins chat, I'm sure there's obviously science behind it, and it's obviously sort of factually correct. That's not what I'm talking about. I just think that like, you should do it, because otherwise, like if you don't exercise, you just feel sluggish. Mm. I think, but you see, it depends how you exercise. I like playing football. I bloody love playing football.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And it just so happens that if you play football, especially in a very rigorous way, you know, you can turn it into like a kind of a bit of a fitness thing as well. Yeah. You know, you don't want to be lazy. So I love, I think as well, a team activity. I understand different personalities, all a bit different, but I do think that partaking in some sort of team activity is worth the effort. And the reason why it could be an effort is you might have moved somewhere, you don't know anybody, or you like a particular sport, and I've got to seek it out. There's a couple of guys who joined my football team. They saw it on Gumtree that was advertised.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're good boys now. They're, you know, we get on well, et cetera, et cetera. They're a part of they're a part of the brethren. but I do think the exercise and finding some sort of team activity.
Yeah,
I think it's very healthy. Well, it's in a number of ways.
It's a safe way of meeting other people, because it's not about meeting other people. You know, when like it's a bit intense if you're just meeting people to meet people.
Mm. I don't have enough friends.
Activity. Yeah,
well,
like,
I think it's a shared, like, isn't it? That's how you know, there's no sort of, you know, icebreakers or any of that kind of crap needed. But I think as well, though, with the team activity, you know, there's a reason why they often try and. So if you saw the program, sort of was it School of Hard Knocks or whatever, or these various sort of similar kind of titles, where they would get lads who were in juvenile prisons and all that, and try and get them playing team sport, specifically rugby. On that example, though, Ian Wright did a football one, Football Behind Bars, that was cool. There's something about playing in a team. Mm. I just it is quite important, actually. And sometimes you think, well, is it worth the effort? Because sometimes my teammates are idiots, or I don't like that person. But you can join another team, obviously. That's what you can get, a transfer, as we. But I do think it's worth the effort to try and find something to do something in a kind of a collective. Why? I think there's something marvellous about that.
I agree with that, because of my recent... I hadn't played football for years, probably since you and I played together, Marcus, which was probably four or five years ago. So I hadn't played for a couple of years. And then over the last 11 weeks, I've just started playing again with a load of guys down my area. And it's brilliant, because it's 2 hours of the week where my brain is completely different. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not thinking about work or responsibility, actually. I'm just literally thinking of playing the game. And as you said, five-a-side is brilliant because it's constant sprinting. So actually it is good for your body. And then afterwards, we usually go and have a pint after again. So there's more kind of connections and community stuff. The problem is now, Marcus, I'm getting to that age where I actually have to stretch down, which is also annoying, but it is worth the effort. And I've
stretching after is worth the effort. I've been doing it for a good few years, actually.
I've only started doing it the last sort of 2 months because otherwise everything would start to get pulled out and I wouldn't sleep well or my back would be pulled out because of things like that. Mm. And now I'm thinking I am at that age where I'm like, it's such a pain. But it is worth the effort, stretching down after an exercise.
It is. It very much is. No, I think totally that's it. That I think there's something in that when you go and play a game. It happens to be football we're talking about, but you can do ultimate frisbee if you're into that. Whatever.
Well, my wife's a dancer. She'd say the same actually. When you're dancing with a group, it's like this physical activity.
Yeah, so some sort of team activity. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously perhaps classify that as a game, but it's an activity. It's something that you're all doing and you're focusing on that thing. And it's a bit like if you go on holiday, the holidays can involve lying on the beach and sleeping in and all that good stuff. But it can also mean like a city break or something where you go around exploring and so on. But what it is, it's getting your mind elsewhere in a calm place. And if you do that for an hour or two a week, as you say, Chris, honestly, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I remember hearing a speaker called Annie F. Downs talk about this, and she was talking about it in the context of like Sabbath, which is, in Christians, they have a day to rest and that kind of thing. But I think it's something that definitely can apply to everyone.
Oh, I have about 4 Sabbaths a week.
I love it. But she was saying that the best thing to do as your rest thing is if your job is something physical, like manual labor, maybe gardening or something like that, then you should rest by doing something intellectual. So reading or watching films or that kind of thing. Whereas if your job involves a lot of, thinking, maybe sitting at a computer and having to use your brain loads in that way, then do something physical to relax and rest. So
change
go for a walk.
Is as good as a rest.
Exactly. Just it's as you say, it's getting your mind into a slightly just a different mode and a different place. And it doesn't necessarily come naturally. As we've been saying, it takes a bit of effort.
Yeah.
It pays off.
Are you into any team activities, Sarah?
Does choir count?
Yeah, it does. I think
singing in a choir, I find so good for that sort of, we were saying, brain rest, brain shift.
Because
you're just focusing, especially because you're in a choir, you're all singing.
Because you're a team.
Parts. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
And you have to be very focused on your own bit, but you also have to be very focused on the others.
Yeah.
So it's not a physical thing, but it is very, very much. And very much. My brain can't think about anything else when I'm doing it.
Which is very. And you used to be a drummer, didn't you?
Yeah. I would say that's another good thing. All you can do is go, ah, oh my God, what's my feet doing? What's my left hand doing?
Those activities, especially like drumming and that, like you'll release toxic stress from your muscles whilst you're moving. So actually it does do so much more for you as well.
Yeah.
But it's the getting there, isn't there? Like, oh, I've got a range to get there. And do I really want that? Maybe I can just stay in and not do anything.
And especially if you're learning a new skill, like not being good at something doesn't always feel very nice, and you've got to persevere. This is another thing. Persevering at something, doing 5 minutes a day of something does take effort, but it does pay off.
It does. Chris, what do you think is worth the effort other than doing the bed sheets?
I think one of you guys mentioned holidays. And what I'd say is research for holidays.
Yeah.
As in like doing thorough research on your holiday.
Oh,
and
I'm bad
I've
at this.
Spent a long time. I'll read most TripAdvisor reviews of somewhere I'm thinking of going, but the bad ones. I don't want to read the good ones because I think they're all fake.
Mate, I would totally agree with you.
And so I'll be like, and you start to see a theme, don't you? Like there was one place we looked at in a hotel somewhere, you started to see a theme on, oh, well, the food isn't quite so hot. Mm. And so, like, it's warm, but it's not hot. And so for me, like doing the research on holidays, I don't think I've ever had a bad holiday because I'm quite obsessed with making sure I do the research. And it is a pain. Like, I think it will probably 15, 20 hours over weeks.
Wow.
Of just looking and reviewing and comparing it and doing all that stuff. But when I get there, it's always brilliant.
Yeah, but you're looking at different that you were doing. We're doing similar research. See, the research I would do is on an actual place. So I'm like, even like, look, Google images of the city or the place where it is, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Whereas you're more thinking of like the actual place where you're staying.
yeah,
the catering and all that sort of stuff. Because you love an all you like. Well, I was about to say all you can eat. You like an all inclusive, don't you?
Oh yeah,
and all you can eat all inclusive.
Yeah, yeah, buffet. Yeah.
No, but I think you really find the best of British at those places, don't you?
You do. I think though with the city thing, it's like I've probably got it in my head that I'm going to a city. You do the research on it, but I think the important thing for me is good night's sleep, good food. And if you buy a pool or the beach and things like that as well, there's nothing worse. Even if you went to the most amazing city on earth and you're in crappy accommodation with crappy food, it just feels rubbish. So like, if I can get that nailed, the city's obviously going to be brilliant. Most cities that you would go to on holiday are going to be fun.
So, you don't. So
I would often get an Excel sheet up and do ratings and all sorts.
No, I'm not that perverted, but I might make a few notes. It might take a few notes.
But it's so much work, but I always feel like it's worth it. And I go confident. I'm not fearful that I'm going to get there and it's going to be rubbish. I'm like, well, no, it's not, because I've just read all the latest reviews and seen the latest pictures and stuff like that. So it just takes the anxiety out of any sort of holiday.
You will not be governed by fear.
No. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sarah, anything else that leaps to mind that is worth the effort?
So one that I feel quite strongly about, and I caveat this with, it's not possible for everyone, but if you can, doing a big shop at Big Tesco. Now, not going, and I've been guilty of this, when you're like, but there's a little Sainsbury's just down the road. I could just go there every single day and get a few bits. No.
Some people quite like that, though.
No, it's not it will cost you more. You'll be faffing around. They'll never have what you need. Trust me. Go once a week to the big Tesco. Do your big shop.
Why Tesco?
Because that's the big one.
All right.
There's
in your
a big
area.
Tesco by me.
You're just talking about the local
people.
Well,
no one says
here.
The big Sainsbury's, do they? The big Asda.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
I used to go to a big Asda when I was a student.
Asdas are always big.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
this
one
was particularly.
All right. Go to insert big supermarket of your choice.
Waitrose.
I mean, if you've got the finances for it, sure.
Spa.
Waitrose at the start of the month, Lidl at the end of the month.
Oh yes. Do a big shop. I'm not saying be rigid about it, but maybe just think, three meals I might want to cook this week. And if, in addition to this, if you can, do a big batch cook. Batch cooking has changed my life.
Well, I'm not sure. I know what you mean, but I didn't mind going to the local Sainsbury's every other day. I thought I was all right with that.
Well,
so I think
fair enough.
Yeah, so
like getting out and about.
Well, also what I would say is that worth the effort, and this is because of lockdown. We were very much tipped off by people who were, I think, probably in Italy when they had lockdown before us, like proper lockdown, when you couldn't leave your house unless you were exercising or buying food to stay alive. But we got on a couple of the food delivery services that you can get like from farms and all that kind of stuff. Sort of fresher. So you pay an extra couple of quid, but the quality is good. And we got on them early because supermarket shelves, there was always that chat, wasn't there, that they were going to be depleted and so on. And we've stayed with it actually, because you can doing a bit of research there, you can get some deals every now and then, do this, that, and the other. But the quality and that is that little bit better for paying that little bit more if you can. I mean, a wise person once said to me, with food, you are putting it inside your body, so maybe don't go too cheap with it.
And I thought to myself, that's really
I thought from Poundland.
Poundland don't sell meat. I think otherwise they do. I'd be there. No, surely no. Do they? Yeah, I'll get myself down there.
Just don't eat it. Just look at it and prod it and see if it moves.
Yeah. speaking of meat, something that's worth the effort, the right person to be with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fair. Yeah. Does take a bit of effort. You get there in the end.
Don't just go for the nearest person.
Okay? Sometimes sometimes the first date can feel like a lot of effort, because it's like
turn down the first offer. Always reject the first offer.
Well, because you don't know what you're going to get, and again, it's like, do I want to go for this? I mean, sometimes it's incredibly exciting, but it is worth it in the end, because if you don't do a first date, you won't get any more from them.
Yeah, yeah. True.
That is true. No, my actual answer was going to be in the name of saving money, if especially with clothes, things like eBay, charity shops, and so on.
They're
worth it, but not just that. Things
like he's got shares in it.
He's working for Big E.
Yeah. I'm not even on there that much, although I've mentioned it a couple of times in this podcast. But Facebook Marketplace is pretty good. But also, one in London, I'm sure there are other parts of this fine nation, Freecycle.
Freecycle.
It's worth the effort. If you want something new, you want maybe, it doesn't have to be anything that maybe you want for, you want it sort of temporarily or a particular a period of time. I mean, I'm saying this with a 5-month-old baby. You know, if you want a new baby bath, you think, well, you can grow out of that one too.
Yeah.
No, it's the perfect place.
And you just need something functional.
Exactly. You use it and then you can put it back up there and someone thanks very much and you spread all of the love.
I like that.
And germs. Yeah. But no, I think it is worth it to also, or if you are, you know, you do like some sort of maybe fancier brands, there's always sales just around the corner.
Yeah.
They always pop up, especially, you know, since the last couple of years. It's obviously within their interest to kind of get more people buying and so on. But I just think if you pay full price all the time for stuff, inevitably there is that item that you think, you know what, it's just never on sale, or actually I need it now, whatever. But I think paying full price for stuff is very much the sort of consumerist sort of thing we live in. I think if you put the effort in finding sales and all that, I think you can find it. I mean, Chris, you love a Black Friday deal, don't you?
Love a Black Friday deal. And I'm the same with that. I'm a bit like, I don't think I'm ever that desperate for something now, so I'm happy to wait until it's marked down a bit. And as you said, sometimes they're not and you just go for it. But
I think there's more joy if you find something that's been discounted as well.
You just get you get more.
Like if you ever say bargain, it's so satisfying.
Oh, it is.
And we British love telling people, oh, nice jacket, Marcus. Oh, thanks. I've got
it. Was
exactly. Yeah. Nobody ever goes, oh, yeah, I know. I paid full price for it.
Paid full price for it, yeah, because I'm a mug.
You know the markup. Yeah, they got me with that. Totally.
Yeah, couldn't be bothered to wait because I'm impatient.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can I ask you guys, do you drinking lots of water, I feel like a lot is a lot of effort. But when I actually am disciplined to do it,
I feel
much better. Like I've started to not just drink coffee first thing, but I have a glass of water, then a coffee. And I feel much better to drink lots of water. But I feel like it's a huge effort in the winter, maybe. Summer's a lot easier, right?
Yeah.
But in the winter, it's like, oh, I'd just rather have something else.
You've always got to make sure your piss is clear. And drinking water is obviously huge with that. No, I think you're absolutely right, Chris. I learned the hard way with this. I had gallstones a number of years ago. Extremely painful. Take it from me.
Would not recommend.
Well, I did a little Google search after my son was born, and I found that this chat forum of these women saying, oh my goodness, I'd rather give birth again than have gallstones. And I was like, yes. I mean, that was just them saying that. So I obviously don't have any reference.
So when your wife's in labor, you're saying, shut up, I've had worse.
I genuinely haven't. But yes, gallstones was particularly awful. And I had a number of blood tests and all the rest of it. And they do you know what? They didn't find any. They didn't even diagnose it gallstones until it was way beyond it. And if you are struggling with gallstones, or you know, milk thistle tablets, take them. You get them from Holland and Barrett. Honestly, bang, never had it again. Sorted me right out. It was a recommendation from a friend. But one of the things they found, there were various blood tests and this, that, and the other. I had the full MOT at the surgery. And one of the things that they just said was, you really need to drink more water.
Oh, really? They could tell that you were just dehydrated.
Well, maybe, but I don't know.
Just a little raisin of a man.
Yeah. I look like an English OAP living in the Costa del Sol, who've been out in the sun all day and all night and all week. Yeah, indeed. And now, you know, I'm...
Now look at you. You're a smooth-skinned grape.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, it is a grape, isn't it? I nearly said apricot for some reason. But yeah, so I think water is... Because you do sort of think, oh, man, just whacking... It's not... Why would I want this? But no, I think it is worth the effort.
Yeah.
I really do. Another thing I think is worth the effort is finding, hear me out here, like finding music you really like listening to, because I think as I get older, I do feel like an old man. I just think music nowadays is genuinely dreadful. I think
it's just all noise, isn't it, Marcus?
It's just
all
poor.
Sounds the same.
No, there's no bloody beat to it half the time, Chris. You know, like you can see from the kind of 50s.
Do you not hear our parents though when we say this?
No, I do. But then actually, I think now that I'm older, I think what it is that you get to a certain age where you realize, oh yeah, I'm now not the youth. I'm nothing. Mm. I haven't been the, I mean, really, I haven't been the youth for a while, but now it's quite clear. So I think when people get to middle age, they kind of go, oh, my sort of time is gone, or that's the end of that in terms of things like music and so on. And the bands I like haven't been relevant for years, and the youngsters don't even know them and so on. And I think that there can be,
well, they just give up trying.
Yeah, I think people give up trying.
They just listen to the things that were popular in their time.
Yeah, possibly. Or they just maybe just stop listening because they think, well, that's not really relevant anymore, or that's or whatever. And I think, and our parents' generations, I think it's that moment. That's when they moan and go, well, that's just noise you're listening to, because they think perhaps what they're into is still relevant somewhat. Whereas actually, when you get older and they get older, I think they actually kind of go, oh no, actually what you listen to, there's a little bit more of a sort of center ground, or there's a kind of an understanding there. That's what I found, certainly talking to some kind of older people now. Oh yeah, no, fair enough. But I think the kind of lineage, if that's the right word to use, of music from say like the 50s, 60s, 70s through the decades, I think in the last, I don't know, 10 years or whatever, there's like, it's taken quite a sharp turn away from all that. And I'm just a bit like, no, I'm not into that.
Not for me.
No, and I think there's probably quite a few people my age that would feel the same. However, I think to find new music, it is worth the effort.
Yeah.
Because it is there. Because I think otherwise you can just stagnate and you just go on nostalgia and all that kind of stuff. But also, it doesn't even necessarily have to be new music. It just can be new to you. So if you get into, I don't know, like jazz at some point, if you think everything's lost, or you get into blues or whatever it may be, I mean, dance music, whatever it may be, I think that is worth the effort. And also, it's the kind of thing that if you go, and if you did go to like a concert, or you did go to like a DJ night or whatever it may be, as I say, I think there is something in that. I think you sort of think, oh no, there is a scene for this, or there is something going on. And again, there's that, even if it's just for, you know, one night or one night only, that collective interest with people, that kind of almost like make-believe community for one night. I think there's something to that, you know.
Aww.
Yeah, speaking of realizing that we're old and we don't care anymore, I mean, this does make me sound old. I tried to buy some wider jeans the other day because they're quite, that's the thing now, isn't it? And so obviously our generation is much more skinny jeans. Skinny jeans are just not cool.
They're over, apparently.
Yeah, completely dead.
So you look, gone back to baggy, have we?
It's big. And I ordered some on ASOS.
Did
and
you?
I put them on and I thought, I look like I'm trying to be 16. I look like when I was trying to be Eminem back in the, like, whatever, the late 90s or whatever, like early noughties. It's just, I at that moment I was like, I'm sending them all back. I'm sticking to what I know. I know I'm not cool. I just don't care. I can't do it. And I think it almost looks worse trying to be the age or not. But, you know, you also want to be like, all right, well, maybe it is a good thing. And, you know, skinny jeans are restrictive and annoying, but I'm just like, I just look weird.
Yeah. No, I think as you grow older with fashion, I think when you're...
That's not worth the effort.
Well, no. When you're in your 20s, people often want to look trendy.
They want to be on trend, don't they?
On trend, exactly. Trendy, that's what it is. Yeah. But once you get over sort of 30 and your mid-30s, you want to look a bit more like stylish. But stylish can be your style, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So I think that's what you're after. So you can follow the odd little trend here and there, but I don't think you should follow it that vigorously. Because again, by the time you're of a certain age, I think if you don't know, it's worth the effort to find out what suits me. And I think most people by their sort of mid to late 30s, certainly, they know what kind of stuff suits them. And then you can express yourself, you know, within that. I mean, you can obviously try a few little things here and there. But I think that's, you know, when someone kind of knows what they're about and it's reflected in their gear, I think. Because there's nothing worse when you see, I remember seeing, I can't remember how long ago this was, could have been a year, could be 2.5 years ago. Duran Duran were on the they were on Graham Norton show, on the chat show. And they were dressing like it was, like they were trying to almost like take the 80s fashion, because obviously the 80s was their heyday, and a few little updates here and there. And I just thought, lads, you look bloody ridiculous, because you're dressing like you're in your late 20s, and you're just not. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like one of them, okay, fine, you've got a blazer on and stuff, but why have you got those ridiculous trainers? Like you'd look daft is what you look. You could look good and you could look stylish by dressing a bit more as someone of your age. You don't
like
have
Gary
to look...
Barlow. He's, you know, matured well. Doesn't he looks good. Yeah. People like that, they do all right. Like,
yeah,
they
don't... wouldn't be the first one I went to, but okay.
Well, I was thinking of musicians from a bygone era, not... He's not tried to be look like he did and take that in the early days. They've
but Barlow was never stylish, though. That's the thing.
Nah, that's fair enough.
Which perhaps maybe...
that suited him well.
Maybe that's the maybe that... indeed, yeah. It's like a footballer without any pace. When they get old, well, you can't lose what you never had.
Yeah.
So you see Barlow, one step ahead. Right. Maybe that's what it was.
It's always good just never to be on trend, isn't it?
Exactly. Absolutely right. Any more for any more?
I've got one last
one. Go on, Sarah. Finish us off with some wisdom.
I think it is worth the effort, if you can, to write a thank you note. And if you're not prepared to go to that much effort, just write a thank you text. If someone has, I don't know, given you a present, had you around for dinner, had you over to stay, honestly, because I love writing a little, you know, an actual physical thank you card, sending it in the post. People always like go wild for it. They're like, oh, thank you so much for the thank you card. And it's like, all right, guys, calm down.
I now need to send you another thank you card.
Yeah, there's another one in the post, don't worry. But people just love it so much. And people have said, that was so thoughtful. I really, really appreciated it. And it's the kind of thing which, like, I know it does seem like a little bit of effort, but trust me, it is worth it.
I agree with you. Totally agree with you.
Good shout.
And I think maybe... there are some people who a text is actually enough. I think older generations write a card.
Oh, yeah, they love it.
I think they do. But yeah, I think you're right. Just that acknowledgement, I think that goes a long way.
Definitely.
Excellent. Well, there we are, everybody. Making a podcast is worth the effort as
well. Yeah.
I hope you agree, everybody. If not, then it's been a pleasure. But we are back next week with another question on this podcast, Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. We're on Twitter and Insta at AQQAPod if you want to ask us or praise us or slag us off. You decide. Until next week, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.